Welcome back to Administrative Static. We have another amicus brief to talk about, and to do that, we are joined by our esteemed colleague, litigation counsel Kara Rollins. Kara, welcome back to Administrative Static.
Thank you.
So, United States v. Pheasant, which is a great name for a case involving the U.S.
Does not
the
involve
US West.
A pheasant.
It does not involve a pheasant. It involves a gentleman named Gregory Pheasant, if I'm remembering correctly.
Correct.
What did Mr. Pheasant allegedly do, and what's the controversy here?
So, allegedly, Mr. Pheasant was dirt biking an hour after dark in Moon Rocks out in Nevada and didn't have a tail light on.
Oh, and dirt so biking without a taillight, so, that's a federal case for you.
Yeah, and as a result of dirt, you know, so then some Bureau of Land Management, BLM, I believe they're officers.
Not
I
don't Black think, Lives Matter. Yes. Don't be confused.
I've talked about BLM meaning land management, and some of my friends are like, what are you suing? And I'm like, oh, yeah, actually, when you deal with Western issues, it means something else. And so, you know, there's a group of dirt bikers going all around Moon Rocks, which is a known sort of area for dirt biking, is permissible use. I should make that clear. You can use motorized vehicles there within, certain limits. What he ends up getting pulled.
This isn't like snowmobiling.
No. Not our other case. I've built a niche on, you know, weird public lands cases.
Criminal cases.
Yeah, we'll get to why that's deeply problematic. They stop this group a couple times. It's never really clear if they're, you know, being held. And then, you know, words are had. I believe there's some F words, some fingers thrown, you know, all that sort of coarse language.
That you might expect from a dirt biker.
Yeah, that's you know, like, what are you doing here, man?
Fighties,
like,
you know?
Asking the very simple question of, like, am I detained? You know, whatever.
Right.
Which is a fair, you know, the first part is a fair question.
Which you're more likely to get a yes answer if you throw that on there. But you
yeah.
know,
and so ends up as a result of this, in addition to the initial pullover, because there's no taillights and it's an hour after dark instead of 30 minutes after dusk. And then on top of that, you know, this interaction ends up getting some, you know, not quite assault, but sort of interference with official BLM. These types of counts that show up every once in a while.
Not stopping when told to stop.
These types of things. And so the case goes to the District Court of Nevada, and the judge says, my favorite question or statement that I think is getting asked a lot in courts now, hey, wait a minute. and the hey, wait a minute here was, the statute that allegedly gives the Secretary of Interior and thereby Bureau of Land Management the ability to promulgate criminal law just says that the Secretary of Interior has the power to draft regulations that are necessary for the management, use, and protection of public lands. And any violation of those regulations, I believe it's like up to $1,000 fine and or a year in jail. And
for any violation
of some hypothetical future crime that the Secretary of Interior is going to invent. And there's all sorts of wonderful examples or terrible examples, depending on how you look at it, of like things that BLM and the Secretary of Interior have since under this authority criminalized, including, I mean, this is, I want to make this clear for the listeners, driving your motorized bike in BLM controlled land 31 minutes after dusk
is a crime
punishable up to $1,000 fine and a year in jail. And, you know, even if there's people out there listening that are not like originalists, I'm pretty sure the founders, when they were setting up our system of government, would just weep openly at this idea because it's so absurd. And another good example of why it's so absurd, it's like, you know, when we talk about our system of ordered governance, and I don't know, maybe civics classes have fallen to the wayside so much so that, you know, I used to think that this was like a basic third grade idea that Congress makes the law, the executive branch, you know, sort of enforces the law, and then, you know, if there's any sort of issues between the two, the courts will say what the law is, right? That's the system. And here it gets all backwards because Congress just sort of says, well, no, you, executive branch, allegedly, go write what the crimes are. And the courts have, to some extent, historically said, well, as long as the punishment is set, then it's like okay for this to happen. And, you know, as we put out in the amicus profiling today, That's not how it's certainly looked at in other criminal contexts and how we interpret criminal statutes. There's things like the rule of lenity, which I know we've talked about on the show before, mm-hmm. which says, you know, if there's ambiguities in the law, you construe it in favor of the defendant. There's the Eighth Amendment's protection against excessive fines or other sort of, cruel and unusual punishment. And they're all—
But your amicus brief, I think, focused in on something even more fundamental than that, which is that in order for Congress to assign a penalty to a crime, it really needs to define that crime first. Because otherwise, how do you know whether the punishment that it's defined or that it's assigned is reasonable?
It's the I'm just a bill on Capitol Hill math, right? I mean, I actually watched that this morning to look at this because I was like,
a good refresher.
When you were talking, that song was going through my head.
Well, but you know, it's so funny because I was like, well, you know, did they ever say what bill it is? And in the cartoon, it's The people back home in the state contact their congressman because they want buses to stop at railroad crossways. Like, under this statute, that is something that BLM could criminalize.
Failure to stop at BLM land, railroad crossings.
Schoolhouse Rock back in the 70s saying, like, no, you have to call your congressman and get this done. But I bring up the Eighth Amendment example because in the analysis of the Eighth Amendment, that's exactly what they say. They say, you know, Congress defines the crime, and then they also define the punishment, and the sort of the excessiveness of the punishment needs to be relative to the crime.
Yeah, there's this proportionality consideration. Yeah. Right?
And that only works, that math only works, if you're doing them sequentially. And what this statute does is it takes them out of sequence. It says we're going to set the punishment, and then they can go set the crime. And I mean, I think lurking in here, and it wasn't brought up by the parties, there's a massive Eighth Amendment problem with the way this is being done. And as we've talked about in our Lesch case, the way the statute is drawn, other agencies, other land management agencies, have similarly broad authorities. There's a possibility that all behind all of this is lurking a massive Eighth Amendment problem. You know, do you get a year in jail for having your taillights off 31 minutes after dusk?
Even facing that potential sentence seems excessive.
But there's no concept of proportionality because Congress didn't decide whether or not 31 minutes is the trigger, you know, because it's 30 minutes after dark, 30 minutes over. But, you know, there's just a fundamental question here, and I think the courts have ignored a very simple sort of initial question, and we bring up two of them. One is, and it is all based on the idea that legislative power belongs in Congress. Mm-hmm. But is
because what, the Constitution says so. Article 1, Section 1.
This is like a structure and text argument. But the sort of questions that we raise are, you know, well, if legislative power can only belong in Congress, then it's really important to define what are legislative powers. And there's a lot of them out there. So, you know, at a fundamental level, anything that sort of binds the actions of an individual. I can think of nothing more binding than the possibility of jail.
Deprivation of liberty.
Deprivation
absolutely.
Of liberty. And that's something the founders would have understood. It's something that's in the text and structure of the Constitution. Again, in other criminal, you know, sort of analyses, that comes out shining clear. There's just something odd about these, like, hybrid regulatory crimes as they are, that the court just has ignored this very obvious thing that this is a legislative action.
Well, and I agree with you, although I wonder if what part of what might be going on here is that initially when this law was in effect, they were only bringing it to bear when there really was something that seemed reasonable for a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. And as they've sort of gotten maybe more and more tedious with their regulation or more multifarious with their regulation, we're starting to see some situations where that penalty doesn't make sense. And so that mm-hmm. then maybe triggers the non-delegation question more than earlier violations did.
And the other thing, I think one of the reasons this doesn't come out, and you know, this is based on other agencies that do this, but you know, I don't know if any of you have been out to Yellowstone.
Yeah.
When you're in Yellowstone or you're near Yellowstone, just constantly on the news are all the people who have taken rocks and walked off paths.
Walked off paths
James Bond.
Pierce Brosnan, most recently. And all of those are the exact types of things that BLM—
I think he pled guilty, too.
Yeah, Fish and Wildlife, all of these have this ability to do. But at the end of the day, the magistrates or the judges that are hearing this, you know, they're like, don't do it again. Give us $500 and, like, go on your merry way. Because a lot of people visiting these public lands are sort of transient in the sense that they're there for vacation.
Yeah.
The courts understand that. And so I think that there's just not a lot of opportunity for true challenge to ask those, hey, wait a minute, questions. Because it's sort of low stakes when it's happening. You pay $500. Okay.
Right.
Not a great vacation.
Get me out of here. Let me get on my way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, maybe I'm banned from the national parks or Bureau of Lands for a year, what have you. It's in only in very rare circumstances, as I understand it, that the jail provisions come on the table. And then once you have that deprivation of liberty, then I think people become more invested.
No, I agree with that. And but this case has been – this has got almost like free speech things around it. It's got a number of bells and whistles that I think make it attractive.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And feathers.
And feathers, yeah. No, and you know, one of the things that the lower court pointed out, and this is just wild to me, it's not just that BLM, Secretary of Interior, can make these rules. They also have a regulation on the books that allows their state directors to make, like, special need regulations, which are crimes. And those individuals, they're not political appointees. They're, like, lifelong bureaucrats who end up in those positions.
Right. So if you're going to have somebody depriving someone else of their liberty, it needs to be someone who's been an elected official, right?
Exactly.
That's what the founders thought.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we'll be filing today, and we're hoping the Ninth Circuit, you know, takes a shot at this.
United States.